Going on, what up, y'all? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Impel Forward podcast. Oh, let me fix this screen right here. There you go. Let me bring Renee on. She was looking small right there.
What?
So you look a little small right there.
Yeah, big Renee, not small. Just kidding. Yeah.
How you doing? How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was a long weekend, which was great. So, you know, President's Day was Monday, and then I took Tuesday off as well. So, you know, I had that flow of Friday through Tuesday off. So it made for a short week, which was good. Always good.
Why you take Tuesday off? You being lazy. Why you take Tuesday off?
Because I just feel like taking a day off during the week is better than taking Friday off. You know what I mean? It seems like Friday goes by too fast. Right. So taking a day off on a Monday or a Tuesday, or when you have a long weekend, like if you have, you know, I would say federal holidays off or state holidays off, whatever you want to call it, taking that additional day, it does something to you. It makes you a little bit more motivated for work on, you know, the following day. In my opinion, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, let me, you already know what I'm about to talk about real quick before we bring on our guests.
Go ahead and plug it on.
You know I'm talking about this NVIDIA.
Yeah.
I talked about NVIDIA last week on the podcast.
You did. You dropped some gems for the people to make some money. They could have made a little light bill had they, you know, used the link.
NVIDIA hit is all-time high. Mm-hmm. All-time high.
Yeah.
I keep trying to tell our folks, let's start investing.
What did I text you earlier today? Not before we started doing everything else. What did I text and ask you?
You asked me for my stash account, my link. You sent it to me. Hey, and I sent it to you.
You did.
Look, us, we can't keep waiting on reparations because we might not ever get them.
Man, we on that again?
Yeah, we got to. I'm trying to get my people to invest. We got
new
ways to make money out there now. We can't keep making excuses.
I hear you. I think the more and more we get more into this podcasting and we bring on these experts and these different guests, especially people that look like us, right? When we bring them on, I think it will get, you know, some people, it would get their buy-in. We can tell them all day, right? Yeah. Get in this, get this money, you know, don't wait, you know, tax money is coming, refunds is coming, end of the year, corporate bonuses is hitting, but it hits a little bit different when they hear from an actual expert that's in that business. So we have some people coming up, right?
Well, sometimes they can just listen to a regular Joe and like, look, well, if Leon can do it, I know I can do it.
Right. You're right.
That's easy.
Listen, that's very easy, right? Yeah. Especially for somebody that's, you know, but if they know you, they know every time you see Leon, he talking about investing, you know, it's real estate, is, you know, any type of thing, way that you can make some legal money, right? Yeah. Business, entrepreneurship, all of those things. So if they know you, they know you. But sometimes for our new listeners, they need that extra push. So hearing somebody that's like in the business, this is what they do full time, right? I think it'll hit a little bit different.
I guess maybe they can break it down a little bit better than I can. I'm just telling people go get it.
Right. I mean, they can if they want to. You gave them the gym last week. You put the link in, you know, in the bio.
And my link is in the description right now. So go to the link. Go to the description, check out my stash link, and get started investing. I'm not a financial advisor, but if you need some help, ask me and I'll help you. I done made some mistakes in my learning process, but hey, I can get you started.
Well,
I was going to talk about the cell phone outage thing, but I don't want people to get bored with me, but we're going to let you
must don't have AT&T, so you want to gloat for a little bit. Because I woke up, everybody was like, oh, AT&T this. If I seen you the AT&T logo, that means we ain't gonna contact each other no more. You know?
Yeah. I don't got AT&T.
Exactly. It's always the people who don't have AT&T that's ready to talk about AT&T. I don't have AT&T either. So, but, you know, I do. On my work phone, we use AT&T. But my personal phone, you know, it both worked fine this morning for me.
Oh, okay.
People were still able to call out sick.
Oh. Mm.
It still went through.
Well, look, go ahead and bring on our guest, our special guest today.
Yes. We have a great guest. I'll wait to do the introduction until we bring her in. Go ahead and bring her in.
Let's
She's
go.
Amazing.
Let's bring her in. This
is.
How you doing?
Yay, there she is.
Can you hear us?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, good. Very good. We have a special guest, which is Akia, but I call her Kia, right? She is amazing. Now, I'm going to go down her resume, and it's very extensive.
Man, that thing long as I don't know what. She got so many titles. I'm like,
listen, my girl bosses, for real. When I told you, when you asked me to be the co-host, I said I got some people. Am I right?
Yeah, you did tell me that.
Community hit different when you reach out to people and ask, can they come on and drop some gems? And immediately they're like, yes. So, Kia, you were actually the first person I reached out to. I was like, I said, Leon, I got somebody immediately, but hold on, let me hit her up and see if she gonna do it. Mm-hmm. And so you were actually the first person, because I was like, you know what? To me, not being from North Carolina, you are such a pillar in the community in everything that you do. So before I get into it, I'm gonna introduce my friend and my neighbor. Let me throw that out there. My friend and my neighbor.
Oh, she your neighbor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My friend and my neighbor, and I wanna tell you about Kia. Kia is a philanthropist. She is, she is a consultant. She is a coach. She is a graduate of North Carolina Central University. She is a woman in tech with the likes of working for Cisco as a project manager. She also, you know, have worked in the communication sector with the likes of Verizon and also, what is it? It is Charter Communications. So she's been in the business for a while. She has own nonprofit where she, you know, caters to the community. I always see her with updates on feeding the homeless. She's always out on the forefront. And, you know, I've seen her where she's done it, you know, with one or two people or by herself. She's a caretaker of her father, because I love seeing the pictures on her Facebook when she's, you know, the old man. That's what she refers to him as, the old man.
Oh, that's what that meant. I read,
yeah.
I've seen the old man.
Exactly. That's her dad. And, okay. You know, and I've seen her not only take care of him, but I've also seen her be an advocate for him when she felt like his needs weren't being met. So I've seen everything from, you know, her being the woman boss that she is with her teachings and all of the things that she has going on when it comes to women in tech and how many people reach out to her. Not only is she an author, I mean, the list can go on and on. I want her to kind of touch on that and bring her foundations and her and all of her her knowledge to the forefront. And I couldn't think of a better person to have today, because, man, if we listed her resume in the description,
it's kind of, I mean, let me go ahead and drink my water right now when she's done. But
yikes. So, I mean, what more can we say about a woman boss? I mean, you would have, I think she's you a Capricorn or Aquarius? What are you?
Libra.
I mean, you there. You there.
Oh, them sign, that sign stuff.
I mean, she got the go-getter of a Capricorn / Aquarius. That's why I'm just like, you know, my girl is on. But welcome, Kia, to Impel Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Hello, Leon.
Hey, how you doing? Right, before you even get started, I want to know, are you doing anything that you went to school for?
I went to school for business management.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So all of it works.
Why are you after that?
I just know a lot of people go to school and they end up doing something else.
That is very true. Yeah. That is very true.
I don't know, because she's doing a lot. So I just want to know.
She does. First and foremost, I want you to bring to the forefront and tell people about your different nonprofit organizations and how did you get started with that, where you felt that there was a need for you to be out, you know, in the streets in North Carolina, assisting not only the people who are in need, but also women, because I know you're big on, you know, uplifting women in our community that has also been suffered some sort of hardship.
So, excuse me. All right. So my foundation is called the Mistaken ID Gives Back Foundation. And so our number one goal is to fight food insecurity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the number one thing that hit home for me, and why I started the organization this goes back to childhood, and everyone always looks at me when I say this, but this is the truth, okay? Mm-hmm. So when I was a child, I had very loving parents, and I had parents that were very engaged in my life. My mother was super engaged, as she was an educator and believed in service and all of these things. Now, my mom retired early. So because she retired early on, I was able to have her with me all the time in prep for school. You know, if you needed breakfast or anything like that, it was necessary for her to be there with me. So when it comes time for standardized tests, I know if y'all, you know, whatever age group you're in, standardized tests were like a big deal, right? And so back then, the teachers at the schools that I went to always said, before you have your test so that you can test well, you need to make sure that you ate breakfast this morning and make sure that you have a good lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every morning of a standardized test, and not just standardized test, but this is where it came from, my mom would make me breakfast and I would have a good hearty breakfast. And I know that I was doing well in the test supposedly because I ate a good breakfast and, you know, I had the skill set, right?
Right.
But I knew that there were other children who did not have breakfast that morning. And so they may have been hungry. They may just have needed something else. And that might be why they didn't perform as well on standardized tests, because maybe they were thinking about eating versus thinking about taking the test.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I was like, man, there's people who need to eat. And if you need to eat to think, right? First thing, if you're really hungry, you're not going to be able to think through anything in your day.
Right.
All you're going to think of is you want to eat. So for me, I said that was where it came from. And I started thinking about how I could do it, you know, later in life once I had some skills. And I said, all right, I want to feed people, because the first thing, if I can get someone to eat, then maybe they can think about something else in their day. So I started going out and I started helping like feed people and give them plates and like hundreds of people at a time, right? And so you're like, okay, if they ate today, at least one meal that I gave them, I know that after that meal, they could think about something else, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where everything started from, was if you can think about something else after you ate. So that's where the program started. And so the number one thing was fight hunger. So the second initiative that we have now, which we were able to build on, was, all right, so I've fed thousands of people, right?
Right.
And I will keep doing that. So that's not something that I'm going to ever give up. But now I can work on skill development, because I fed you. Now, right. I know that you can think about something else, right? And so now you can think about doing some other things with your day. Maybe there's something that you need. Maybe you need to talk about what kind of job you want to have, or what type of work you want to do, or even something as simple as maybe how you're supposed to do something throughout the day. And so that's the second initiative that we started.
So is this what you're talking about? Is what I read, you've been doing it for 4 years. Is this what you're talking about?
Actually, five. This will be the sixth year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going on year six. We actually did get recognized by the city of Durham. We do have our day of service, which will be December 7th.
Congratulations.
December 7th. It was recognized 2023 by the city of Durham. December 7th of 2024. We will have a special events weekend of volunteering in Durham. So I hope to see you guys there.
I will definitely be there. Definitely. So
what day is is it on Saturday when you give out food? Or you always do it on Saturdays?
Well, not always Saturdays. No, I choose different days because you need food every day, right? So I don't always choose a holiday. I don't choose like a random Tuesday, but I do. When I do some of the larger ones, when it's like 250, 300 plus, I try to do it on a day that's a weekend, but it doesn't have to be. Sometimes it may be a Thursday or a Tuesday. It just it's random.
I was thinking about of a day I can get out there and help.
Oh, yeah. Well, December 7th, we're doing it.
I do work on Saturdays, too, but.
Oh, okay.
I can figure out something. That's something I like to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you say it kind of led into skill development and, you know, helping people kind of be able to think because you fed them and they're full now. So now let's move to the next step. Is that where you kind of created success looks different for everyone? How did you move into that sector?
So that movement that I believe in is, okay, so success does look different for everybody.
Absolutely.
Me, Leon, everybody watching, it looks different for all of us. And I don't ever want anybody to think that it has to be the exact same method to get to where you need to be or whatever. And so I started a pilot program at a local shelter to see how it would work with people who may not feel as successful because they've been down on their luck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started the pilot program there because if I can reach you and I can get you through a program, then I can get anybody through a program. I mean, literally anybody. So that's, I started the pilot at a shelter, and you've been, Renee, is one of my guests there. And just finished the pilot on February 1st. And the celebration will be March 22nd for that pilot program completion. And then we'll kick off another set of programs in the community in May.
I think that's amazing. Just, you know, when I was there, you know, as a guest for you, how much the women look up to you was just amazing. Like, you can tell that they look forward to you being there and you building those relationships with those women, whether it's, you know, knowing their children and some of their backstories and, you know, things that they've been through. It made the overall experience so much easier when helping, you know, these women understand how success looks different for everyone. And, you know, and understanding what you see online may not be reality, right? I remember speaking to someone else, you know, when you partner, you know, each woman together with one of your guests there, I remember speaking, and I can't remember the young lady's name, and it's no offense, I'm just not really good with names, but we were talking about what she does, and I can, she kind of downplayed it a little bit, and she was like, you know, I believe she said she was a housekeeper or that's kind of what she does. And I said, oh, you work in hospitality. And she said, huh? I said, you work in hospitality. That's amazing. I know a few people who work in hospitality and have worked in that business for years, and they are extremely successful. I have a friend, he says, I'm a high paid janitor. He tells me that to this day. I'm a high paid janitor. He still cleans the floors when he goes in just because he's, you know, a director or, you know, at some senior level executive, it doesn't negate the fact that he started at the bottom. So when he goes in and he's visiting his, you know, his buildings and the different hospitals that he oversees, he cleans the bathrooms too, still. So, you know, I wanted her to see that, you know, don't ever downplay yourself. Don't ever downplay it at all, because what you like and what you enjoy doing, express that she enjoyed doing it, then hope that, you know, stick your chest out and keep going. And I just love that, because that's what you expressed to every single woman there. And it was just an amazing feeling to be in that, because service, acts of service, is one of my love languages in helping people and networking, which kind of, you know, led me to reach out to you to be the, you know, the first one I thought of to come on the show. Because I'm not going to lie, I was just like, I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, Kia should be mayor.
Uh-huh.
Kia should be mayor. That's what I see. Oh. I know you're on the Durham's Women's Council, but you know.
That was my next question. You tapped right into my next question. I was going to ask it. With everything you're doing, how can you serve on the council for women in Durham? Man, you're doing a lot of stuff. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I am on the Durham Mayor's Women's Council. Mm-hmm. And what that group does and is responsible for being the liaison between women in Durham and mm-hmm. the government officials. So in reality, if there's any issue like healthcare, like women's healthcare has been a big topic for a while now, right? Mm-hmm. Well, some women came together, and Durham was one of the first places to pass like a proclamation for honoring and standing up for women's healthcare. One of the first towns in North Carolina.
Hmm? And what do you mean by the women's healthcare? What's been going on with it?
In regards to, I don't really like to always go like deep dive into it, but you know, like women's healthcare, such as like abortion care, making sure that people have proper care when giving birth, et cetera, more like doula information so that people know that you don't always have to go to a hospital. You may want to have a midwife or a doula help you get through that process. I haven't been through that process myself, but there, I know a lot of experts in that field. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with quite a few of them. But what I do know is that we have to protect ourselves as women, mm-hmm. right? And so if we have government and other officials who represent us, then they need to know that if we want to protect ourselves, they should stand up for us as well. And so right. that's one of the initiatives that the council did early on, like early in that space. But as of now, like we work on, you know, we started a clothing closet for families and students at a local school, and we've started doing some other work in the community, and we'll be kicking off some more work soon. But being a part of that council, the idea is that when you're the liaison between people and the council, you want to make sure you cover a lot of different areas. So there's also an area for like arts, culture. You know, there's an area for fair housing. There's an area for public safety. Like there are different areas that women in the community represent in the council. So that's what's a nice, it's a nice mix of people who represent all of Durham. And we're here to continue to represent all of Durham.
I think that's amazing. How does one be able to be on that council? Is it something where you kind of got to know someone or get voted in? So say if one of our listeners or our viewers are interested in being on that council, what is the process for that?
So Durham actually has quite a bit of boards and commissions on the Durham City website. Mm-hmm. And they always post vacancies, and people don't tend to know this, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of information that comes across the Durham City website. And nice. On the boards and commissions, it posts all vacancies. So not just the Mayor's Women's Council, there are tons of boards and commissions based on different initiatives and things that you believe in. There's tons of things that are out there for you to look up and see if you want to join it. You fill out an application, they submit it, and then you go through like an approval process. They do check your like tax records to make sure you're up to date with your city taxes, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But then after that, there's an approval process that you go through. The city clerk swears you in. So you're actually like a government official. You get sworn in. You get a pin from the city. Like, it's nice to go through all of that. And then there's awards, banquets, and things throughout the year, and little meetups where you can meet other commissions and other board members from other groups to see if you're interested in something else. Fair housing, cultural advisory. I mean, there's tons of boards across Durham.
Oh, that's amazing. Definitely reach out to me regarding the clothing closet. Now, you know, if you know me, you know I got something to donate of some sort.
And don't be late. And don't be late. That was Renee's. She's not like messing with her.
Yeah. He's saying don't be late. I'm on time for things, some things.
So look, tell me, go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Dive into the tech. So I seen you somewhere that you was into tech. Your back, he had a background into tech. How did you get into that? And how long have you been doing it? And what type of tech?
Okay. So I started my work in telecom. So when you were saying Verizon and Charter and Time Warner Cable, telecom was that sector. And so it's telecom, not communications, what I worked in. Just, you know, they happen to be companies that provide communications across. And so my work started with, oh man, fresh out of college, I actually went to Time Warner Cable for my first job. And then I like evolved a bit, you know, past some entry-level roles into project management. And my first project management role official was at Verizon. And for Verizon, I delivered some networks across the globe. Some things are visible in places like Times Square. Those networks still exist. They're still there. There's places all over. I like to be able to see and touch my work. So I know that if I see it and I know that I did that, I can point it out and say, oh, I did that or I did this. Without calling out any customer names or things like that. But basically what I used was my skill set from business management. And then I decided one day I woke up and I said, what am I supposed to do with my life? Like most people do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think I can be a project manager. And then I thought to myself, well, why do you think that? Well, because I believe in lists, I believe in organizing things, and I believe in aligning people. And if I could figure out a way to go into this job, I won't feel like I'm ever worked a day in my life because I can do this naturally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so after trying and trying and trying a few times, I did get turned down about 4 or 5 times. But that 5th time when I got that yes from Verizon, I went ahead over there and started to build my skill set in tech. Well, really, it was telecom then. And so for that, I delivered what's called, these are acronyms, but basically networks larger than regular internet,
mm-hmm.
that would be delivered from business to business across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be responsible for working with engineering teams, making sure they were in place, doing what they need to do. Basically a head delegator.
Right. So you didn't go the traditional role of going to school, getting the, taking the test and then getting the project PMP certification and kind of doing that way. It was more based on skill set learning as you go, yeah. and then doing it that way. So that's interesting to know. I mean, you know, for our audience, you know, doing the traditional way doesn't always mean that, you're going to get to that point. I mean, also skills and learning as you go proves to be just as good. And she's a living witness, testimony of it right now.
I won't downplay skills and classes though. Okay. So I did get that first role. and then, right, I went to get my first certification, which is ITIL. Version 3 was the first one I did.
And was that after you got hired at mm-hmm. Verizon? Okay.
That's the requirement for working at Verizon, that you have that certification. And so if you don't get it within a certain amount of time, I don't think you can keep your job there. Don't quote me on that, but it for that role that I was in, you had to get it and solidify that. Yeah. So that was the first certification I went after. And that's the Information Technology Infrastructure Library is what that stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a methodology. It's pretty boring, but it's a skill set that's needed in project management in telecom specific areas. And it's something that they look for. And if you have it, then that's where some dollars start coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. That was the first thing I did. And then I used Verizon as well. I believe in having a company sponsor you through your education.
100%.
Villanova was next. So then I looked up and saw what I could take at Villanova, and I hit up the master certificate program there. And so then I took organizational leadership and agile management.
Mm-hmm.
Now, agile is really big right now, but then it wasn't big yet. And I said, if I go ahead and grab this now, I'll have it when it's time and I need to use it later. And I'll have all of the methodology and thought process behind it. So I grabbed those 2 certificates from Villanova and I got that first certification in IDLE at Verizon. And I was like, all right, now we can go play games somewhere else if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Did I see you about 4 different schools? Name one Villanova, and she said Central early, but you went to a couple more, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then you get someone else to pay for your as you continue on, right? You always want someone else to pay for it. So the next certification, not at the next company. I didn't get any certs there. At the next company I entered was Cisco after I did Charter Communications, where I delivered Wi-Fi there.
Mm-hmm.
I delivered Wi-Fi at Charter Communications across large apartment complexes and hotels and senior residences across the state of Florida. I did that at Charter Communications.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So my job moved. So I didn't have a choice. It was like, you're gonna move with your job or you're gonna stay here. And in the interview, they interviewed and asked me about my dad. And I said, well, if you know that my dad has to come with me as I'm his extended caregiver, we have to go together. So your dollars need to match that.
Right.
And they looked at me and they were like, but we really, really want you, but we don't know. I said, well, if you don't know, then I don't know either. And so I stayed here and went for the offer at Cisco as a contractor. Let me go ahead and put that out there. I did go to Cisco first as a contractor. Mm-hmm. People don't think about contract work being really good work. It is.
Why is that? Why do you think that? Because it sounds contractor, it kind of sounds temporary. Do you think some people are afraid to make that jump, or they feel like sometimes it doesn't come with benefits? Why do you think people are kind of, you know, afraid of that whole contract job?
I think it's conditioning. It depends mm-hmm. on your upbringing and how sometimes whoever molded you and shaped you prior to when you got here. Because if your family believed in, I need a pension, I need benefits, I need whatever, then that was the conditioning that you had coming up. And you probably always thought, well, I'm going to work so I can get this pension and this set of things. Now mm-hmm. the pensions are not that great anymore. They're not, I'm not going to say they're non-existent. There are still some roles that have them.
Right.
Because they're not, contract is actually a way to increase your pay faster than just going through the ropes.
And that is true. I think we talked about that where we were talking about retirement and, you know, 401k and, you know, the retirement age, the needle just keeps moving and moving. And, you know, when it comes to age, right, of when you can retire, it seems like it just keeps going up. So that kind of makes sense. It's almost like you're saying, okay, well, I know you understand, you know, you've been taught, you know, benefits and all of these things, but you know, at this point, you can make money and be able to get these things. So a lot of times, you know, contract work is a stepping stone to something different or something greater. But also, some people love contract work because it does come with benefits, but people just don't know that because they hear contract and they don't think that, they think everything is temporary. Oh, it can last. But I have, you know, I have friends who are directors and they have contractors that's been with them for 10 or 11 years and make great money and have benefits. And vacation.
Exactly. It's how you negotiate your contract. That's mm-hmm. the difference. But let me go back to your question, Mr. Leon. I know I was long-winded on my way to get there to the other schools, right?
Right.
All right. So I saw online one day that Bank of America will pay for
you. Wait. Back up. Did you call me Mr. Leon?
I did. That's just my way. It's just my way. I call people Mr. all the time. It's just me.
Okay.
I respect
and I will too be calling you Mr. Leon here on out.
Don't do that.
So I looked online. Bank of America pays for women to attend the Women's Entrepreneurship Program at Cornell. So if you didn't know that, anybody, it's a program that's offered through Cornell. And Bank of America will pay for women to attend that program. And I saw that online.
There's a gym. There's 10 people. She just dropped a gym.
I applied and I completed the Women's Entrepreneurship Program with Cornell and received the first set of cohort information and things like that. And they continue to send information now. And that was years ago. At this,
I'll go ask you, how long ago was it? So it's still available for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. People are still entering the program now, like all the time. I've been seeing it online, threads, TikTok, people talking about entering it now. And I'm like, wow, yes, do it. If you want to do it, do it.
Yeah. So what type of, go ahead. Oh, you finished, go ahead.
So there's that. I got two more certifications for Scrum. Scrum Product Owner and Scrum Master. Mm-hmm. So those were two more certs that I had Cisco take care of for me.
You said Scrum?
Uh-huh.
What is that?
Scrum is a different methodology used in project management and other ways. It's basically a way of making things easier. In my opinion, it's easier, but it's changing the form. So back in the day, everyone who does project management did something called a waterfall method, which means mm-hmm. that every step you had to do something. So it's like pouring water, right? So every step you got to do one step at a time. Scrum takes it, kind of shakes it up a little bit and says, you know what? If we put these ideas, I'm going to call them ideas. I'm not going to use all of the technical terms and things. So people listening, I'm not using Scrum terminology, okay? So you put all your ideas together in like kind of a, basically like sticky notes, for example. And then you pick off what you think should be a priority and you try to make that a priority. And then you can talk about it in a shorter period of time because you know what you've prioritized when you're doing a project versus going, okay, I gotta do step one, step two, step three. Now, what if I want to do step one and three works better than two? And then I can come back to two. Like, it changes the way of thinking through how to work projects. It's used a lot in like software development. It's used a lot in various avenues. Now everyone wants to try to be on this bandwagon of it. And so really it's nice.
I've seen it a lot on LinkedIn. Funny enough, I did complete the project management program for Durham Tech and passed with a 90. But, you know, project management are for certain individuals, right? They are for special individuals. Right. I'm organized. I am a hard worker. I am, you know, I love things in order. But as I was taking the class, I was like, wait, this terminology sounds very familiar. And I realized, even though I completed the class, but I would say by week three, I said, these are the people that I dodge throughout the week when I'm at work and they're reaching out to me trying to set up meetings because I'm this would be considered the SME of the department that can answer the questions that's needed for the project or provide them somebody with my level of expertise to assist them with the project. And I was like, I dodge these people weekly. I don't want to be the person I dodge.
So, and that's what you get for being smart.
I mean, you know, you know, women, we run the world. But I was just like, and so it was a group of us taking the class, and I was like, yo, I don't, no. But I was like, I paid my money. I didn't, you know, I should have took one of Kia's gems and reached out to her, but I paid out of pocket. It was kind of during COVID, so a lot of things were slow, right? I was able to kind of do a lot of multitasking, but I completed it. I got a high score in the class. Even the teacher, she was like, are you going to move forward? I was like, I don't think so. You know, but I take this certificate and I'll keep it and we're going to be LinkedIn friends and, you know, that'll be great. And if I see you out, hey girl, hey. But you just got to know what's for you. But I think for sought out people that are highly organized, they love to create and network to make things better or work. I think, you know, project management is a great thing. And that's why she is so successful with all of her many hats, because she's equipped to handle many different things. And you have to be that and handle many different personalities. Am I right? Yeah.
You're right.
So that's
what it's all about.
What type of person were you in high school? Did you always have this leadership type of skills?
In high school, oh man, I think I was in like all the clubs. No, probably not. I was in quite a few though. And then I was a cheerleader. I mean, then I had Girl Scouts. So my mom believed in activities.
Mm-hmm. I kept her busy.
You're going to do some activities that are going to help you learn more things, help you get more exposure in community. You're going to do some service. You're going to do things that you may or may not be comfortable with, but you're going to do it. And then my dad is like, okay, so yep, you can do all that stuff, but then you have to play a game with me or something. And so between my mom and my dad growing up in the earlier years, it was like, yeah, you're going to do some activities. You're going to dance. You're going to go to dance every weekend. Like you're going to do something. You're not just going to sit here and not be involved.
So did you grow up in Durham?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So how amazing, right?
Huh?
I said amazing, right? Not saying that people in Durham aren't, you know, good, but I'm just saying she's amazing in all aspects.
Yeah, I see a lot of people using that word amazing. Some people in the comments using amazing. Kia's amazing. When they keep using amazing.
She's amazing. And they see it. I mean, again, we see her resume, her bio. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably sends a small part of everything that she does. So for the community. So if they're using the word amazing, I don't know exceptional. I mean, girl boss, coach. All the things. She, you know, she's dropped gems. Now, somebody that wants to get into tech, what are some ways where, you know, they maybe transitioning and they don't really know what they want to do, but they kind of maybe a little bit interested in it. What's one thing that you can kind of tell our audience, hey, if you're looking to transition from, you know, maybe they were working in, you know, a different customer service or their ultimate goal is to get into tech or project management. What's a kind of a beginner friendly, I don't know, I would say a book or maybe, you know, website or, you know, online that they can kind of dig in to learn more so that they understand what the job entails?
So I will say that tech is not one thing, right? I know it's on social media. It's, yeah, you're jumping into tech. And you're doing
exactly.
All this
send this.
Like 100,000 tomorrow. It's right. Not, okay. So first, the first thing that I say is decide exactly what it is that you may want to do. And if you don't know, identify what skills you have and then start researching roles that may match those skills. Mm-hmm. And if they don't match directly one for one, think about, I say this all the time, transferable skills. What skills do you have that can be transferred into something else while you're doing the research and trying to figure out what this role is that you might want to do? Because you may want to be, I don't know, a developer. You may want to be an engineer. You may want to be a project manager. You may want to be a product manager. You may want to, I mean, you can be in finance. Like, tech is not one thing. Every other job that exists in the world exists in tech also. I need people to understand that too. Like,
that's why I asked you what type of tech, you know.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So being in project and program management as my base, That's cool. I mean, I did. I worked for telecom and tech companies mm-hmm. as my base. Those were the two things. That last piece was mergers and acquisitions for tech. That's still tech.
Okay? Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's still, you work for a tech company, mm-hmm. but it's all there. If you want to be in HR, there's HR in tech. Like it's all the same. It's just like working for any company. And people need to understand that. It's just that this is a different type of company, a different sector.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid of contract work.
No, never be afraid of the contract. I always say go for the contract. If you believe that you can condition yourself to do it, go for the contract. That's where you're going to get your money and bump your salary. Because you can jump in salary real fast doing contract work. Don't ever downplay the contract.
So that's all you do is contract work?
No.
Okay.
So back when I started, like, remember, I took you through the start. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to just Verizon. And Verizon, when I started there, I was doing the full-time benefits thing. It was cool. Oh. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I was under the same conditioning that I just told you about. So I know about it, right? I don't speak on anything I don't know. So I know I was under the same conditioning. Mom is like, when I was growing up, my mom passed away when I was 15, by the way. But mom was like, okay, you're going to work. You're going to do this. Make sure you get a pension. Make sure you get a retirement fund. Something
right.
Like that, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So mom's always in the head, right? So I know I'm supposed to work and make sure I have benefits and a retirement pension. Okay. And then a contract opportunity came about. And that pay raise space, when I told the people at Verizon that I was leaving to go do a role, the HR person who interviewed me for my exit interview, he says, well, is there anything we can do to keep you here? I said, well, let's see. What would you do if someone offered you almost double your pay to go do the same role? What would you do? And he was like, you know, I would just go. I said, oh, okay, sounds great. And so he then says again, so what can we do to keep you here? And I said, well, I think you just answered the question yourself.
Right.
I just asked you a question and you right. told me you would go. So guess what? I'm going. And he was like, yeah, he was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you can do that and move around and bounce your pay around and fix it yourself, then that's what you're supposed to do. Like, just do it. Try something different.
So I take it that, so you doing it that way, do you have portfolios that you invest in yourself?
Like,
so far as, like, you know, so you still have a 401k with how you do your thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So don't get it twisted. Working as a contractor, working as a full-time person, most Fidelity still runs most people's 401ks, whether you're a contract company or not. Yeah. Fidelity, Charles Schwab.
Say it again for the people. Say it again for the people. Contract work, you can still.
And it'll be the same thing. They'll still sometimes do that 5% match. They'll still do all the same. It's the same.
Okay.
The only difference is you're going to pay for like your medical benefits, but you're getting paid more so you can actually pay into your medical benefits if you want to.
Right. Because I know a person like me and a lot of other people who have their own business, we had to take it upon ourselves to do those things, invest in. Open up our own Roths and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. The contract companies will do it for you.
Okay.
I told you.
She's giving you the game.
She is. Now, let me ask you this. Being a Black woman in this particular sector and, you know, again, obtaining your certifications and different things as you go along throughout your career, did you feel like you had to be just as good as your male counterparts or your white counterparts as you went along in this journey? Did you have that feeling of, I'm going to have to go a step further and obtain these additional certifications because, you know, I don't have the traditional background that some of my other peers have? Did you ever feel that way?
All right. So I can speak to this in two ways. One, I have a story. And remember I said, I was turned down 4 times before I got into the role.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gentleman who I always had to cross in an interview. He was always the last interview for me, and it was the same one. And he told me, you don't have the confidence to be a project manager. Now, me, if anyone knows me in the world,
you are amazing.
The last thing that I lack in anything is confidence. The difference was the way that I show up is different because I believe in the motto, speak softly, but carry a big stick. I can show you better than I can tell you. I don't even have to tell you. Like, I don't do a lot of talking about me a lot of times. This is outside of my box. Renee knows this. Mm-hmm. And all the people, you know, people know this. So speak softly, carry a big stick. So he legit asked people in the office if they thought I had the confidence to do the role.
Mm.
And all those people kept looking and they were like, what do you mean confidence? This girl knows her job in and out. She knows our jobs in and out. She knows how to do everything and whatever. And so the interesting part was he actually never did hire me.
Mm.
Wow.
But that other company did.
Mm.
And so the next time I saw him, I was in a place in a nice restaurant at the bar, minding my own business, and he crossed my path. And I looked over and I was like, ha ha, gotcha.
6 degrees of separation. It always happens. I tell people that all the time.
Yeah, but no. So when it comes to having the same abilities, the same traditional path, my path, success looks different, right, for everyone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be the same path for anyone. And so I don't ever think that their path was just what it was, because we all know that there are some people in this world who have the most confidence and believe they can do anything more than anybody. And we know who those people are. And so the thing is, if I know that I'm just as good as you and I'm never going to sidestep for you, I'm always going to walk my line and do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to stay in my lane. You can't cross into my lane because my lane is made for me.
Right.
No matter what they think or do or whatever and say, oh, you don't? Guess what? Check the resume. I don't even have to at this point. Check it. Because if you want to know what I can do, you can look at that. If you want to know beyond that, ask somebody. And if that's just it. Like, I don't have to compare myself to them at any given moment. Like, because why? We're great. Black women are great. Black men are great. Black people are great. We're already greatness in the making. We were already made to be great. So all I feel like is someone else is inferior and it's not us.
I would agree with that as 100%. Agree with that.
Where your superwoman cape at?
You see what I deal with? This is really what I deal with.
But look, is your father still alive?
My dad is alive. Okay. He's 76 years old.
How old?
76.
76. That's good. That's good.
She threw him a party with a DJ and everything. When I tell you he was the man, and he's like in an assisted living home. Am I right? He was the man. I'm telling you, they probably thought like, whoa. I mean, she got him a DJ. He had the food. I saw him. He was, you know, getting it. I bet you he, all the women was like, mm-hmm.
So tell me about some of the teachers he taught you growing up. And I know you say you had some of those thoughts of your mother telling you what to do and how to be growing up. What are some of those that he taught you?
So my dad, this is the honest thing. Like my mom, I spent so much time with her that most of her things overlap. My dad, the major one thing that he did for me that no one else can ever say that they did was he retired his job on the day my mom died to take care of me.
Wow.
And so that in itself, that's a lesson that can't be matched, right? Mm. Yeah. So beyond that, you know, I mean, he was, you know, high school time and, you know, youth and teenage years, but my mom literally talked me through so many things in the time that we had together that some of those conversations come up in adulthood.
Right.
Wow. Right?
And it's crazy that they come up in adulthood and I can replay them and say, okay, well, what am I supposed to do now? Oh, well, she told me I need to do this, this, and this. And so I already know. And a lot of times growing up, it was, you know, ask your mom. Cause my dad actually worked night shift when I was growing up. So I always tell him he was asleep for a few years. So not saying he wasn't a supportive parent and didn't teach me anything, but that number one thing was, if I give up my job for you, I'm retiring today because I want to make sure that you're cared for and good. Then that was the one major lesson that I got. And I actually walked away from Cisco and told them the same thing. I'm leaving to spend time with my dad.
Right. You're giving him everything. Well, I ain't gonna say everything, but a lot back that he did for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you say it was?
Oh, it's amazing. You're amazing.
That's all the things that you do, because you know those who don't know you know what you do and all of the things in your service to the community and to your father. What's one thing you feel that you haven't accomplished yet that you want to accomplish? Because you got a lot. I mean, you're an author, coach, speaker, I mean, entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the things that I want to accomplish and continue accomplishing is doing things like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like talking to people. And like I said, I don't normally do a lot of talking about myself in spaces. It just, most of the time it's the other people who do the talking for me. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm here.
I'm here.
That was me. But so it's never like in a boastful tone or way or anything like that. But I want to keep doing things like this, talking to people, making sure that everyone knows, one, success looks different for everybody. Two, you can do whatever you want to do. And three, just making sure that people get the message that if I can do something, then you can too. It just may take you some time to get there, like it took me some time to get there.
Mm-hmm. See, she knows. Now, we went through her bio, right? We know, if not some of the things that are on her resume and all, you know, like, again, her service to the community. There are other things that Kia likes to do that are fun, you know. I know that she loves red wine, which is amazing. So tell us some of the fun things outside of all of the other things that you love to do. I know you can cook. One, I've been to your house and I've had food at your house, so I definitely know that you can cook. What are some other things that you enjoy doing?
I like to travel.
Oh yeah, you do like to travel.
I just got back from Antigua for the first time. That was nice. It was a adventure. Mm-hmm. I do like warm weather, so if you can find me some good food and warm weather, then I'm trying to go.
Blame you. Me too. I'm trying to get somewhere myself. I feel like I've been at home far too long. Far too long.
I like good music. So, and that's a lot of different genres, from symphonic to regular jazz, blues, whatever. Mm-hmm. I like music. I like DJs. I like live music, but I also like DJs. And the DJ can play all kinds of things, and I really enjoy it. So I like to have fun. My fun is very simple: eat, drink, and be merry. So if I can do that anywhere, if I can eat, and if I can drink, and I can laugh with my friends, family, new people I've never met before, mm-hmm. That's it. That's mm-hmm. real simple. That's my fun: eating, drinking, and being merry all the time.
That's her fun. We ain't gonna say, "Oh, you be outside."
Yeah, you be outside, like Renee. You should put eating, drinking, and being amazing instead of Mary. Amazing on it. Take Mary off.
Exactly. Exactly. Take
Mary off. But look, when you go speak in your speaking engagements, so being that you do so much, do you tailor your speaking engagements off whatever the company or whatever you're speaking for needs? Or what do you speak about?
All right. So I have one specific topic that I like to present that I think is important, and it's about joining a board of directors at any level.
Okay.
And so I feel like everyone can join a board of directors based on the level that you're on. You know, obviously if you have a job and you have a space capacity to do it, but I don't think it should be niched off into just the upper echelon or just the upper top tier of a company. I think that everyone can join a board of directors at any entry level, mid level, senior level, and beyond. And so I actually have a workshop, and I also wrote a book about it. And so it's tailoring the concept of you can do this. Once again, success looks different for everybody. So any level can join a board. And I do it because I know for myself, like, I started this workshop because I was attempting to go to a workshop for someone who was talking about board of directors. And they told me I couldn't come. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Mm-hmm. Well, you're not qualified to be in this workshop. And I said, wait, what makes you qualified to lead the workshop, or rather be in it? And they said, well, you have to be a CEO of a company, not your own company, but a senior level leader. And they were naming like level titles and stuff that, you know, I mean, I was like, but I can guarantee you I have more board experience than anybody in this room. And they told me I couldn't come, so I couldn't go. You know, so I created a workshop that said, guess what? Mm-hmm. I know that you can do it because I did it. I've done it. I started my first board position. I was at Time Warner Cable as a sales coordinator. My first board position that I decided I wanted to be on a board of directors. And I was on a symphony board as a young Black person.
Interesting. Okay.
Think about how many other people are on that board who are like 65, 85, and then they don't look like me.
Right. Was the respect level there for you? And when you were kind of being able to add some sort of input?
I came in a leadership role. I came in as the director of marketing, and then I moved over to be the director of development for that board. Mm-hmm. And then I hopped off of the leadership track and just became kind of like a member. And now I'm a retired member. So when I show up to events and they announce retired members, I get to stand up next to all those other people who might be 85. And
right.
They're putting me across the room because they know. Like,
what are you doing here?
No, they're saluting me because they're like, oh, she's the one. But early on in that experience, it was, you know, it took some time because people didn't know who I was. They just saw my name. So they didn't know this young Black girl, that's the name.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought I was someone else. And they thought that I was actually like an older woman early on.
Right.
Not the board, the actual people who we service, like musicians, thought I was someone older. So the first time they met me, they actually thought I was someone's child.
Wow. Thank you. So,
where do you see yourself with all of your accomplishments and all the things you've done and are doing? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Because when I listen to you and everything you're doing and done, I'm looking up here somewhere. What's next?
I mean, okay, so we all work for freedom. All I want is freedom of time, freedom to do whatever it is I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I like doing this, so this isn't work for me. So when you enjoy something, it's not work. So in 5 years, I hope to be completely free, look, financially stable, that I can move around and hop a flight when I want to and come back and talk to people about serving the community if I want to. Like, just whatever I want to do. Because the idea is we work for freedom. Or that's my idea. I work to be free.
Right.
Freedom of time, that is.
Freedom of time. That's what it is. Like, yeah. I think we strive for that all together. We got a question, or somebody else is saying Key is amazing.
Yeah, that's the theme. That should have been the title. He is amazing.
We might have to change the title to that when she posted. He is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any more questions for you. I don't know what Renee got for you. You know, Renee, she can go now. What you got for Renee?
You know what? I think she answered a lot of things for us, and she dropped a lot of gems for our audience, even for me, look forward to all of the things that she has going on. You know, she is not one to brag on herself, but she is one to show you better than she could tell you. And I think that speaks volumes for Kia. You can see it on her Facebook. You can even see it, you know, on her Instagram. She does a healthy balance of, you know, I am a girl boss. I am a philanthropist. I am an entrepreneur. I serve the community, and I go on vacation, and I cook and take care of the old man. So she has a nice, healthy balance of all of the things that she loves that makes her who she is. And I love that for her.
And she gave us two different things of what she had to prove that she can do and be who she wanted to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we thank you. I thank you. You know, it's something to say about the community that you build, where you can reach out to someone and say, hey, would you like to join or be a guest on our podcast? And immediately she was like, yes. And I was like, I want you to talk about you and all the things that you have going on, because I want you to have exposure to all of the things that you being the great person that you are. And it was immediately yes. And, you know, she was saying thank you. And it was more of like, no, thank you. thank you for agreeing to join. And I hope this serves to all of our viewers of you can do whatever you set your mind to.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a living witness of that and testimony. And that's why she's so great today.
Yeah. Tell people where they can find you or how to get in touch.
Okay. So,
everywhere.
Right. Literally everywhere. Let's just do the basic, right? So my nonprofit is the Mistaken ID Gives Back Foundation. It's mgb-foundation.org. That's our website. On Instagram, it's MGB Foundation. My personal Instagram is Mistaken ID, so M-I-S-S. Taken ID, the number 9. That's my Instagram. That's my personal Instagram. I have a link tree with like all these different links.
We have our
it's in the description.
We have her link tree in the description because it's a lot. And also check out her foundations, you know, and her days of service when she is looking for a community. I would love to do it. I need to work on my project management skills, and you know, I try to fit so much in my day and week, you know, myself. But I loved when I assisted her with one of her groups. As I said, success looks different for everyone, and I hope to continue to work with her when I can, and I will, you know, be at the next event that she texts me about. So absolutely, as she closes out and moves to something, I mean, the same thing, but something greater. I'm sure we see it in her.
Oh yeah, I see something bigger coming from somewhere.
I know, and I kind of feel like, you know, it's like that Beyonce thing where they're like, how many hours out the day? Like, how can she fit all that? You know right. what I mean? And here I am, I'm like, dang, I know what I give 2 hours to this company, and I know I do this, but do I need to wake up at 3 a.m. and start my day? Like, what?
No, you don't. Time management. And I don't believe in overtime. And I go to bed when I'm supposed to.
You true. I don't believe in it either. But I'm a hard worker. I work hard in those 8 hours, seven and a half.
Smart. Smart in those 8 hours.
That's because success looks different for everyone.
Work smart in those 8 hours.
Exactly. Well, we appreciate you being here again and dropping those gems for our audience, and also for Leon, and motivating others that are in your same position or would like to be. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Y'all stay on after we end this.
Yes. And
thank y'all for tuning in to this amazing guest, Akia Umstead.
Yes.
Tune in next time to the Impel Forward podcast.
Yes. Bye, everyone. I know I'm crooked. Here we go. There we go.